What is going on, everybody? Mike here from the Bases Loaded Fantasy Baseball Podcast. And this is a live draft with me, Chris, who's known as at Baseball Pods on Twitter, and Matt Williams. We all had the same draft. We decided to get together, record a little live podcast, hang out a little bit, so some banter in between. But for the most part, just a lot of fun, some analysis, and a little bit behind the thought process behind it. So what a DC is a 50-round draft and hold. So there's no waivers, no trades, nothing like that. So when we talk about closers getting pushed up and pitching getting pushed up and all of that, we're basing it off the fact that you can't make moves in season. What you draft in these 50 rounds is what you get, period, end of discussion. And there's 750 players drafted in this format. But before we get started, a quick word from our new sponsor, Prediction Strike. Do you wish you could have had stock, quote unquote, in guys like Aaron Judge or Paul Goldschmidt? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. It's like Robinhood and DraftKings had a baby. Sandy Alcantara is up 149% over the last year, and investors are making a killing. Prediction Strike lets fans create portfolios of their favorite athletes so they can make money and get even closer to the game. Don't just draft your favorite players, start investing in them. Simply download Prediction Strike's new and easy-to-use app from the App Store or sign up at PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Use code GTE, that's three letters, GTE, then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares, quote-unquote, of your favorite players. The value of players will change based upon game performance and supply and demand, and you can trade your shares of players at any time as long as the player isn't currently in the game. Sign up with promo code GTE to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more.
And they're walking him with the bases loaded, an intentional walk to Barry Bonds.
2-2 with the bases loaded and one out.
Oh my God!
Deep to right field, way!
And that's the beginning.
Where do you pick, Chris?
Ninth.
Oh, so it's kind of cool because we're close to each other, but we're still like we're not back to back. So it's like players that make it to Chris.
You're 12, right?
I'm 12. Yeah, you're 15. He's 9. So it's like spread out evenly. What, two picks between each of us?
Yep.
Yeah, which is fun because just because I'm like a player, I'm thinking of most likely won't make it to me, even if it makes it to Chris anyway. So who's your number one, Chris? Anyway, like who was your number one pick this year? I know no one. Like, trust me, no one cares what number one picks. I get that, but
yeah, I wish I was ever able to get it. I have the worst KDS luck, but I would go Acuna one.
I got him at 2 in the main. I almost talked myself out of him because of, I had such a like a set plan. But I was, and then Matt was with me while I was drafting like a good portion of my main, and he's like, "Dude, you said it out loud. Go with what you said out loud." I'm like, "You're right." So and Acuna is my number one. Like I was just really, you know, the whole shortstop like dead zone, which just falls off a cliff, really scared me. So I was really because and I had my targets for outfield already in my head, at least early round outfield. Which everyone knows Eloy was the plan. But then Cedric Mullins even fell in that draft. I was like, I don't know what to do. I do like Cedric Mullins more than Eloy, so I took him because I'm not going to skip on what I perceive as value to make a certain thing happen. I'll adapt, which I did. But yeah, it was weird. It was just a weird start to the draft. This is moving way faster than I'm used to for a deep.
Probably yeah, all 55-second clock. I love
it. Yeah.
I took Mookie partially because I don't have a lot of I like him. I thought about obviously Freeman or Burns and Kohler there, and so is Machado, but I was like I'm a big Machado guy, but I don't have a lot of Mookie this year, and he's a guy that I've liked, so I'm happy to scoop up there.
So I'm in this weird position where I have no Vlad. 12th pick is coming up. I'm picking 12th. I have no Vlad. I don't want to miss on Vlad, but I have a hard time passing on pitching just because I don't trust it. There's no pitcher here that I don't like in the next round, but I don't know what's going to fall to me there. And I don't know how pitching is going to be treated in this draft. But then again, Bobby Witt Jr. is here. I have zero Bobby Witt. And I don't know if I want to end the draft season without him if he falls one more pick. So then I'm torn. I'm like, do I go pitching? Do I go Bobby Witt just to get Bobby Witt? Because I've been pretty anti-Bobby Witt this draft season. I don't know why.
I have two. But this is one of the reasons I love playing Dynasty because I've got a couple Witt shares in Dynasty.
Don't covered. Have to worry about it. Even better. Don't have to worry about it.
It was an auto pick, by the way.
Yeah. Nice. Well, first round. Good.
First round.
First round auto pick. That's fine. It made my decision easy. I went Garrett Cole at 12. I just like the safety. I can't believe I passed on Vlad. I told myself I'd get, you know, to change up my draft strategy a little bit, but I just really like Cole. I really like those pitchers in the first round. Yeah. Cole Burns at the back end of a 15 teamer. I just feel like it's such a safe.
I did a 15 teamer with I had the 15th pick, and this is earlier on in the draft season, and I went I double tapped Colin Burns. I mean, I like the build.
I think it's all about how, but we don't know because here's the thing, it already looks like pitching's not getting pushed up. I mean, it's too early to say that, but we were talking about possible, you know, with the whole main event season that just happened. So then I'm looking at I took the first pitcher off the board at 12.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, do I really need a double tap pitching here? I don't think so. But if Burns did fall to me, if Matt doesn't take him and he falls, which I don't know.
He will not get past me.
I didn't think so. I did not think so. But if he did, I'd
probably in the first round. Jesus.
Freeman. That's fine. That's fine though. They auto. It's
gonna move quickly. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. The draft is going to fly by.
ideally, it'll be the three of us.
Now, honestly, I'm a huge Mets fan. I have no Pete yet. So my whole thing was I'm taking Pete no matter what. But, and now I'm like sitting here looking at Vlad and Machado too.
And Burns.
Yeah.
And
oh, Burns. I'm taking Burns. I'm using 30 seconds of Burns to contemplate my
would
other
you say, pick. Would you say you're burning the clock?
Yes. I am burning the clock. I'm probably taking Pete anyway. I want Pete anyway.
So no, I'm laughing.
I would have taken Freeman. If he dropped, I would have taken Freeman and Burns.
That's a safe start too. Freeman just no one seems to like him, and I think it's just like super safe. I don't know. Maybe that's why there's no speed. You know, people want speed in the first pick.
He stole 13 bags last year.
I forgot. Yeah, he stole what, 11?
13.
Oh yeah, you said 13. You said the number. I was laughing. I wanted to make sure people understand. I was laughing so much because I looked at the screen and because we're recording. This is a recording, but you and I we see each other on, you know, StreamYard, and you were just shaking your head at the terrible dad pun. I went full Jeff Erickson on it. I went full. Listen, if there's one idol to have in this industry, I think Jeff Erickson's a good one, and I would take it.
He's the best.
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
What'd you got? Oh, you got a big meat Pete. There he is.
In the first. Oh, you. Think, per- oh, second. Okay.
I wonder if that's the minimum. You might have just hit the minimum on him, Matt.
I think he's hitting. Oh no! Is I actually looked it up the minimum 7?
Yeah, someone took him in the first.
I tried looking up. I'm like, all right, what could I do here that's not crazy? And I saw like there's some crazy. Someone took Bogaerts 8, by the way.
What?
Wow. Yeah, his min is 8.
Mrs. Bogaerts.
And his max is like 112. But his min is 8.
I'm mad at you because Pete was actually my top target in the second round here because I have one share and I really liked how that build was. I think it was almost like a Cole Pete build. So if I don't get Vlad, I don't think Vlad's gonna follow me. This guy's about the auto pick.
You know what's funny? You guys know me. I love doing the death by 1,000 paper cuts thing where I love drafting guys that like don't get zeros.
There's no way I get Vlad. Sorry. Anyway,
when I do that, I mean, knowing yourself and your weaknesses when you draft, I typically end up with a deficit in power. So I figured, all right, I'm gonna just draft Pete. I'll just put some power on the board, and then I'll draft like I normally do. I'll end up getting Pete anyway.
I got Vlad in the early second to pair with Cole. Me and you just got the same combination of players because I actually I put Pete right here with Vlad in terms of like I personally have Pete in that tier with Yordan, Vlad, and just having that power, you know, that a huge immense like any three of those players should be winning, you know, lead the league in home runs type of thing. So where you took Pete taking over Vlad's fine for me. Like I didn't think it was a huge reach. It's just one of those things where it doesn't happen often. It's not the consensus, but personally, I'm okay with that pick. And not that it matters. It's not my team with what I'm okay with, but you get my point.
Yeah. I actually think in the end, they're somewhat interchangeable from a stat perspective. I mean, Vlad has a higher batting average ceiling, but P has a higher power ceiling, but it's close. So it's like, what? The only guy I put above them is Freeman. You can write his statistics in pen.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what you're getting from.
I just grabbed Riley. Devers went right before me, and Manny, it was off the board. I love getting one of those three, but it's not. And I put this in I just put out a piece yesterday on my website around the batters that I'm riding with. You know, the ones that I have the highest shares of, and I have a ton of Riley and Manny. And it's not because third base is shallow, though. I think third base is just fine. I just think that those guys have the great power and average floors, and they're super safe. So I don't know. I do think that first base is a lot deeper than third base. So there's a little bit of position scarcity going into there. But really, I like the third base pool. I think it's fun.
Wow, Randy went.
Wow.
Randy. I love Randy, but not. I don't know if I'd take him. Well, then look at who's here. If you want speed, other than Lindor and Harris, I don't think it's a crazy pick. I think it's one of those things.
Hey, man, I have Sandy on, I think, every team. So, but I've been drafting a lot towards the middle, but I usually get him, in the third. But yeah, that's. Chris, yesterday I was out, or a couple days ago, I was sitting in while Mike was drafting his main event team, just kind of chilling here with him. And Devers slipped to the mid third.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was. Oh yeah, it was nuts.
I was set. I wasn't taking him in the third. I had the second pick overall. So pitching I had early.
Like, pitching went like crazy.
I had Strider an early third round like pick.
Sixth or some.
Yeah, Strider was like a top eight pick. I think that's twice that's happened now. And then Cole, it was one of those where I was like holding my breath and Woodruff fell to me, thankfully. And then Gossman made it around and I was like, I'm just going to secure pitching. And I know my strength being that all I do is focus on playing time stuff all season long. I wanted to, my goal was to come out of that draft with a strong pitching staff. So I double tap SPs and Devers was one of the, when all that pitching is going off the board, well, something has to give, and it looks like, you know, hitting has to fall, obviously. And Devers becomes a solid value in the third round for sure. But I wasn't willing to sacrifice my game plan knowing my strengths was building around the offense. And I feel like that kind of showed out because I think I'll be okay off the waiver wire too if I get lucky. But yeah, I'm thinking so third base, I feel like it was even I was part of it. I was guilty. Third base as a whole, Chris, I feel like was just
kind of a gap.
But there's a gap in all positions, but I feel like it was just overblown just how bad it was. I feel like it's just so mediocre for a long period.
The problem is like shortstop as a position is deeper, but they all go in the front. Yeah. A third base is more shallow, except when you're taking other people when the shortstops are going, after that you get a bunch of third base. So it's like, I think it's just almost this thing that's not even discussed enough when people do analysis. It's not how deep it is, but kind of when players are still available. Like, yeah, it's like if you wait on shortstop, you're kind of screwed after the top, like so many picks because like, you know, but
now that's third base,
you can grab one like Yandy Diaz, like goes super late. Yeah. He's totally usable. And the most usable shortstop is gone. Like, well, like many, many rounds before that. So it's just, yeah, even though it's a short, yeah, it's just, I don't even know how to phrase it, but yeah,
it's about the shape of the position. It's like third base has this like super elite, then a little bit less elite, and then there's a gap. But like they're different. They're good, like good different players with a diverse set of skill sets. Like you can get a power hitting third baseman later, and you can get a stolen base third baseman. You can get batting average third baseman. So it's just about just understanding like kind of almost. I think of like almost like a graph where like it's up and down, you know, and it's just like the in terms of the quality, you just have to understand the shape of the position.
Yeah.
Here we go. We've got,
so right now I have, did you pick already?
No, I'll be up in a couple picks. I'll be going with the answer here.
So you're combining, what do you have right now through two rounds?
I've got Riley and Betts. So good average, good power with Betts. I have some speed, lots of counting stats on both of those offenses in the middle of the lineup. So I'm going to either be going with I'm probably going to grab a closer here unless two of them go. I like getting a closer early, especially because Kenley Jansen scares me now.
He returned.
He's fine.
For what it's worth.
It seems like, yeah. No, but I just like – I like – there's also a starting pitcher here I like a lot. So exactly.
There's a lot of good pitchers here. Like, I'm surprised. Pitching is not getting pushed up right now. Hitting is.
Yeah. There's so many good starters. I'm going to go with my favorite reliever to draft, and that's Jordan Romano. I think he's money in the bank. Makes me feel safe and secure. Wrap 35 saves around me in a blanket. That's the way I feel like I do when I draft Jordan Romano.
See, I'm looking – I have zero Josh Hader. And I'm seeing Josh Hader fall here, and I'm like,
yeah, he could get him. I think he'd be great. I thought about him. He was the other guy I was thinking of.
I'm not a Hader guy this year, and I think that maybe it's a mistake. But I also don't usually get him in the third round of a 15 teamer this late.
Yeah.
But then you have there's other players that just really have my attention. Then I'm like, oh man, it's so hard to pass on it. Including again, starting pitching is very intriguing here.
I just think that they're, I mean, with what happened in New York, and I, you know, look, Kenley's back and looking fine, but that still looks
no good. I know, but there's Presley, there's other guys. I'm just looking at other closers. Like, obviously it would be Hader here. Just I would take a shot on the upside.
Yeah, zero, you get 120 strikeouts.
Is Presley, right? Gonna get autoed again?
It has to get autoed twice, don't they? Like, doesn't it skip them already? How long does it take for the?
Oh man, so okay. So Arenado was on top of my board. I was thinking about double tapping with like two big power bats, like two super powerful bats like that. But I don't know. No, I'm looking at pitching hard, but I'm looking at the hitters too, and I feel like we're entering this area. This is why I don't usually pick from the 12th spot either. So I'm over here probably overcomplicating it for no reason, which is always fun. I'm gonna go hater. I'm gonna take a different approach here. I don't mind getting closer early. I have been avoiding closer early because I really like those next tier closers, but I'll take Hader at 41. Just on part of it's a FOMO thing, having no shares. Another part is securing saves and good team. And obviously Hader because of one half. I feel like we shouldn't be fading a guy because of one bad half after a long career of success or a solid career of success so far. You know,
agreed.
But I'm not confident in it. I won't lie to you. Act like I'm super confident in the pick. You know what I mean? It's just wild to me because I have to get out of this mindset of, oh, I need to get pitching early when pitching is falling, right? Like really falling.
I hope it keeps on falling.
Me too. Well, yeah, the way you set yourself up for this. Like, I'm jealous that you set yourself up for this. Meanwhile, I'm over here like I kind of wish I didn't go Gerrit Cole in the first round. I kind of wish I took Vlad and then another hitter, just because right now I could be getting my ace and be happy with it.
Yeah, there are four pitchers I'll be happy with.
You double tapped the two outfielders I was really looking at. You.
Ooh, Robert. Vlad's
yeah.
This year's Yelich, right?
No, this year's Yelich was a different player, I think. But this was he came out today was really like, yeah. Now that I'm done drafting, Robert's the guy. He's like, he's my guy.
That's right. It's Rober.
Is it Robert?
Rober. Like. Rhymes with over.
Rober, yeah. Okay. I've heard it three different ways. Robert, Rober, oh, now Rober.
They finally, the White Sox asked.
That's right.
And he pronounced it Rober.
Rober.
So, I was going to take Gaussman, but I was like, all right, now that I got Pete grabbing both Mullins and
yeah, now you're making me consider. You're making me consider.
Robert, right? I like taking him.
You know Gaussman what?
He's, like I said, I put out another article, my most shared pitchers of my most shares, Gaussman. I have him on 6 out of my 20, and that's a lot for an ace.
Well, I'm about to give you another a chance at him because Gaussman, I took him in early third, so you know he would have been a target of mine here if I needed more pitching, but I don't want to leave draft day without this guy. He fits my team build. I need speed. You know, I want to get some speed secured. I'm going to take Corbin Carroll.
Ooh, and,
I considered taking Carroll with one of my guys.
Huge FOMO.
I considered it.
I do buy into what we're seeing these last few spring lineups, which again, I've gotten way better at not overreacting to them, but this is three now that we've seen like a lot of the starters in there and Carroll's batting fifth or sixth. And I do think there's something to that, especially with this man. It's the same manager, from last year too, and they, you know, he led off Josh Rojas plenty last year. He led off other people. Carroll, I think, led off once or twice out of his like. So, and then he started off towards the bottom of the lineup, but moved his way all the way up to second. I do think, you know, this team's going to get injured. He's going to get opportunities to move up. I think he's going to move up sooner than later. Carroll, I'm talking about. But ultimately, I do think batting fifth, sixth is kind of crappy. But I'm going to bet on the skills here, and I think projections are a little soft on his stolen base potential.
So I just took Zach Wheeler with my
not a bad pick.
I mean, because to be honest, I don't think they'll make me. There's two other pitchers that I was considering there that if you read the article, I have 6 shares of already, and I'm like, I need to diversify aces because pitchers get hurt. When they do, it tends to be catastrophic. Mm-hmm. So Gaussman is one, and then Darvish is the other.
If Gaussman falls back to me, I'd be surprised you let him. But
I doubt he will. I doubt.
But
he
if
will.
If you do,
I don't like. First five, I'd rather have three bats than three arms. But if Gaussman or Darvish fall, I'll have a hard time.
Well, so you must love my main event staff because you just named two of three of them. What was the first one? Oh, Woodruff, who I feel like is super safe. So it's one of those things where I was like, all right, I'll take Woody. But yeah, no, I'm with you. And obviously, those are the same guys I'm looking at. But I almost want to see like what closers fall. Do I take a second closer this early? I usually don't. I never do that. But it is super tempting considering the closers that are falling because. Now we're seeing a little bit of a pitcher run. But,
there are a lot of closers on the board. You're right, which is shocking.
Especially with this is a draft Champions League where you can't play the waiver wire. That's one reason why I even took a closer in the third, which I've been, again, pivoting off other closers, off the top tier closers and settling in the mid tier. But I'm not. I might be the guy who says screw it and causes the push. You know, I'm going to play that game of All right, I guess we're gonna push for closers. I'm pulling up the board here.
Team six here is Tucker, Arozarena, and Garcia.
Team six has three outfielders and a starting pitcher. This is a 15-team league for those listening.
They walked into the grocery store in the outfield section and they filled up their cart.
I like what they saw. They got power, speed. They got both of those.
Batting average is gonna be interesting. I mean, Tucker could be in for a big bounce back with the whole shift being banned as a lefty. So Tucker could gain batting average, but you know, Rosarena is no guarantee with his volatility. He's a little volatile. I mean, I feel like it gets overlooked how volatile he can be just because Rosarena has been so solid and safe over the last couple seasons. And we all know Garcia, none of us bought it last year. That's why there was a huge discount. Now this year you're paying for it. And I'm afraid of being held. I'm afraid of holding that bag. You know, you don't want to be holding the bag when it explodes, so to speak. So that's what scares me about that when it comes to him. Where are we at? Schwarber in the fourth. Yeah, see, 15 teamers.
Schwarber and Judge, interesting combo.
A lot of lot of bombs.
Yeah,
I'm expecting some. There has to be some starting pitching going between team three and team four, though. You have two people here with no starters, and he just picked a third bat over his first starter. Starters falling. If you went like your build, Chris, that was it worked out really well for you getting to go with hitter as heavy at the beginning.
It's crazy.
And then getting a closer.
Agree. We're about to get into round five. This is like early DCs where I got Gausman in six in a number of places, but then everybody and their mother was like, hey, check. He was like the most unlucky. He had like historically bad BABIP.
I'd be very surprised if he falls to you because he's the top SP off the board right now per ADP. And there are five, six teams ahead of you that two of them don't even have a starting pitcher. Two of them have one.
Now you got your closers going. We just had three of the last five picks.
And for those listening, Ryan Pressly, Ryan Helsley, and Felix Bautista. So the closers are other than Romano, which again, I don't care. Romano here, there goes Gausman. First, a second pick in the fifth round. Good value, especially after all, again, pitching falling the way it did after the main events. I'm kind of surprised, but it's fun. It's fun to see it fall not as expected, you know? I like unpredictability a little bit. Adds to the fun, at least for me. Is Darvish even going to pitch the first week? I thought he was delayed or something. He might not pitch the first, like, fantasy week, you know, the four games or three games, four games. A4.
Yeah, there was something about him getting ramped up from the WBC, but I don't think – it seemed more like timing, but I don't know.
Well,
he did say concern regarding preparation. What is that? That is not what you want to hear necessarily.
They're saying he
may not make the opening day start. That's what.
Okay, opening day start. I'm fine with that, but we need more info before I'm over here not starting him in my main because I don't want to miss a start from him. But if we don't have word come, you know, the first day, I'm not gonna push him. I'm not pushing him up. Like, I'm not going to start him if I don't have guaranteed he's starting the first series. I can't, you know, I'm not taking that risk type of thing.
Oh, man, I'm tempted. There's a lot of risk. I think I may take that risk because I think all the people that have the upside that I want here, I feel have some.
I think we're getting in that territory of hitter and some pitcher. Yeah, pitcher too. We're getting to that territory in general where it's kind of a lot of pick your poison.
There's a lot of guys that have question marks about them have fallen. So Rodon, Iglesias, Jansen,
yeah,
like those guys they're still here and they're.
Oh, because Iglesias, I thought there was news that came out that was rather positive. I thought I saw or I heard about, but then I still don't really I still question it. But then you have Rodon, who is supposed to miss maybe a month. So I'm not sure he's throwing a bullpen session already, but.
I decided to go get
big. I hate you. I hate you so much right now.
He took a look.
You know I wanted Eloy. You know Eloy was top of my queue. You knew it. Like, you had to know it.
This is my thing about Eloy that I love. So he was like, he wants to play a lot of outfield. And I was like, so the beginning of the draft season, I was like, dude, I do not want that guy in the outfield. Then they signed Benintendi and they've got Colas. And I was like, oh, like he can want to play outfield all he wants. They've got three much better outfielders than him that are going to play him.
Man, I'm really bummed that you did that. I really thought that he would make it to me. I talked you out of who?
Darvish.
Damn it.
I do love Darvish. Is one of my favorite players in baseball. Has been. I do have a summer. But I, once again, this is why I'm glad I did this. I went, like, looked at, I have so many shares of him. I'm like, ugh. If he go, you know, you don't want to go down. You don't want too many teams going down with one ace.
You know somebody who has my attention that I have no shares of. I think I might change that right now. And it's an outfielder, so I'm really looking. I got to see. I want to see what I thought I saw the other day, looking at him too, which caught my attention. I'll say it because I'm really leaning his way is George Springer. No shares, but we know he's great when he plays. Stole bases last year, and I believe in spring he's running, which to me always speaks volumes when a player runs in spring when they don't have to. They're risking injury, they don't have to run. He's 2 for 4. That's the problem. But he's never been known for his success rate. But if he's running in spring, 4 attempts, that tells me he's going to run. That's how I look at that anyway.
I don't intend to have a lot of him. He's a very difficult player to own. He feels like he earned a roster because it feels like he like gets all those kind of dingy injuries where you're not sure if he's going to play or not. That's the thing with him.
That's the case. I'm going to just take my safe pick here and get my guy, my SP2 here. Lock up my Yu Darvish to go with Cole and Hader. See, I don't like having a closer this early. I'm looking at Hader and Hader's pissing me off that I took him. Like, I'm really upset that I took Hader. Plus, I wanted to give Matt less options here to go with Burns.
You took Darvish, Mike?
I did take Darvish, yes.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Darvish and Cole to pair with Hader. I like my pitching staff. I just, again, the thing about Hader's, I just don't like a closer early because I feel like I really like the starters there more. I feel like just the way I like my team builds now, just getting a starter there is something I prefer. But I am looking at, we'll see on the way back how this goes. But I'll let Matt pick his duo here. So Matt has Corbin Burns, Pete Alonso, Luis Robert. And Cedric Mullins. I'm not going to say that right for a long time. So
Christian, you did it right. Actually, you just said it right.
No, don't worry though. You're going to yell at me though, because I'm going to mess it up at least 3 more times.
But you actually said it right that time.
I know. Yeah, that time. Yes, which I appreciate. And you know, I do make an effort. I am just bad at it.
That's all. I think that's all anyone cares about. Make an effort.
I do. I hope so. But at the same time, you know how people can be. People think that like it comes off as mocking sometimes. It's just like what it is how often do we actually say the words out loud? Like you might murmur, like say it to yourself a little bit, just to try to get the idea, but until you're using it in conversation, it's really difficult to get that down pat. And I'm over here talking while he's thinking. He's listening.
Your boy Springer might make it back there. You're going to have a hard time.
I know. Well, if he makes it back, I mean, that's actually – so I was looking at him way above ADP anyway. I think, or not way above, but his ADP is it's like 80-ish. I'm not an Edmund guy. I'm just like a guy's above him, and I don't care if Matt knows. And Matt's not going to take Edmund here. He has his own bases. But I'm not an Edmund guy. I never have been. I like the George Kirby pick. So Matt took Kirby and Framber Valdez to go with Mullins, Robert. See, I told you to mess it up. Robert, Alonso. I'm on the clock. And
I have zero. Okay. I have 0 shares of Kirby. He's my dude. So I wanted one. So whatever.
I'm happy with that pick, man.
And that sets me up. There's a lot of rounds to go, but that okay, sets me up fine. Where I can let starting pitching go a little bit.
Well, I couldn't let George Springer go anymore. I felt like in the sixth round, he just and a little bit of power. You know, he's gonna get power, lead off, speed. I got power in middle lineup type in Vlad and Carroll. He's gonna fluctuate up and down that lineup, but he's gonna run plenty, a little bit of pop. I thought Springer was a good fit. Now I just have to hope. The thing about outfield, it's not that deep at the top, but it is the deepest position. I can name like 3 or 4 reserve round outfielders personally that I feel comfortable starting. Reserve rounds for average people, but I have no problem starting them week 1 if I have to, or sooner than later if I have to.
I agree.
So it's a weird, like there's a weird dynamic there. I feel like
there's a whole bunch of guys that I feel could steal 15 bases, 15 home runs with decent batting average. It's just, there's like a 10 of those guys that I like, but the problem is it depends on, you know, what playing time are they going to get? Boy, this guy that's autoing is cleaning up on all the injured players. He's got Iglesias. He's got Jansen. Watch him win the league. His last three picks. Wait a minute.
You're looking at the wrong guy, I think.
Oh, there's the guy got Rodon and Iglesias.
Yeah, that I don't know if he autoed that or if he is on auto?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he gets for being on auto. It's not a free league, so if someone's gonna auto a league, I'm not gonna argue.
Well, I went with Robbie Ray. I don't have shares of him. I really would have rather had I think he's 200Ks in the bank and the ratio is fine. And in a league like this where volume matters and plug him in and let him go. I'm through 6 now, and I've got his hitters Riley, Mookie, and Eloy, and then pitchers Wheeler, Ray, and Roman. So
I'm really mad. really mad at the Eloy pick. You don't understand. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm glad we're on the same page in terms of you took Eloy. So I'm like, fine, I'll stick it to you and take Darvish. I don't. I'm the opposite of you. I really like Darvish. I feel like Darvish is one of those guys that could be a top 12 pitcher.
Yeah,
it's just a matter. It's just always a matter of health. But he's been healthy lately. I know he's older, but I feel like he's figured out how to stay healthy. And sometimes that's learning how to stay healthy is a skill. So, and I feel
I didn't already have like a 25% to 30% of my teams with Darvish, I would have picked him.
I'm just upset that I want to. But yeah, Robbie Ray. It's funny because like I was actually texting Simeone because Simeone's not a Robbie Ray guy, and I'm over here like, dude, something about Robbie Ray just sticks out to me. I think it's the strikeouts, and I know I'm going to get good, not great ratios. But then in spring, again, I know it's spring, but he's like not walking anyone in spring. So that little bit of a whip bump we saw from his Cy Young year to last year, maybe he can fix some of that. If spring is any indication of maybe he's attacking the zone more, who knows what he's doing in spring, Robbie Ray, that is, to figure this out. So I'm just little things like that. That's what I look for in spring. His stats don't really matter. But when it comes to guys like Robbie Ray, where we've seen the whip go up and down and the control go up and down, like something like that, I'm like, all right, at least I'm paying attention to it entering the year. Not necessarily something I'm reacting to and making a point to draft him because of, but it could be a tiebreaker. Like, you know what? Maybe there's a chance this is a thing, and kind of keep your, that's how I look at it.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think we're still haven't figured that. I mean, the thing that I hear a little bit of too much of, oh, he's down 2 miles an hour on his stat cat or on the velo. Mm-hmm. It's just like, the machines aren't even the same at every different park, and all these people are down. And so I don't ignore anything I hear in spring, and I also don't act on everything. But I think we are better about it, because I was tweeting this a little while ago. Like, I don't know, maybe it was 5 years ago, I would say every podcast I listened to, everyone was just like, ignore spring training. And it was like just a lazy take, to be honest. Doesn't help you as a fan, because you want to watch spring training. And now we actually have some more data, and I don't think we figured out how exactly to use it. But I do think that that's the next level is like, we're like, I do think people are overreacting a little bit to like 2 mile an hour decrease in velocity start. But in fact, I'm very confident that they're overreacting, but at least we're trying to not just write off, because it matters. Look, if it wasn't for spring, would Anthony Volpe be on a major league roster?
No. Exactly. Would Colas have broken camp? Most likely not either.
Yeah. I think Rodriguez would have broken
camp. Touche.
But yeah, sure wouldn't have.
Is this Jenny Butler that we're drafting against? Because if so, that's gonna.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Did she get in? No. Ray Butler.
Is it Ray Butler?
Oh yeah, that's Ray. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's great. He's gonna have a good team too.
I like how he's built it.
You should have invited. Yeah, I was about to say, you should have invited Ray on.
I didn't, honestly, it's weird because I feel like ever since, you know, he's grown his family and all that, I haven't seen Ray do a lot of podcasts and stuff. So I honestly just kind of assumed he was busy. It's not for lack of caring about the guy. Heck, back in the day, I helped him get the podcast started, you know, back when I had ambitions grander than I could handle. I tried doing everything with everyone. I didn't realize I just need to stop. I had to do a lot less, and less turned into way more, because now all I do is one thing, and it's fun, but man, it's cool to see how I feel really confident in like how my content has transformed over the years too. Cause remember, you mentioned spring training hasn't mattered, but now I'm seeing a couple other notable people do similar write-ups as me, not like the same. They do their own spin on it, which is great. Cause I look at it like this: bring more awareness to the niche as a whole, because there is a niche. Like, I know Zimmerman does lineup analysis in season, but I saw, you know, DiPietro has been doing a daily thing. Clegg's been doing a daily thing. And I think it's great, because what it shows is that there is something, and it goes back to what you were saying, there is something to spring training. Not necessarily the stats, but you're looking for playing time edges, you're looking for platoons, you're looking for lineup spots only matter for the beginning of the year, but you're still looking, because if Carroll goes from leading off to batting fifth, you have to alter your playing time projections or your plate appearance projections. You have to alter some, maybe like, okay, look, the RBIs are going to go up, the runs are going to go down. That matters, because you're building around skill sets that might not be what you're drafting. So that's why stuff like that matters on a micro level, but how much it matters depends on where the player ends up, you know, long-term, whatever. So stuff like that. It's just really cool to see that it's growing in popularity, that people aren't just writing it off and giving me a hard time. Now, to be fair, when I started this whole thing off as a niche, it was kind of basic, like, hey, look, this person's leading off. This guy's batting fourth. Like, I didn't do – now that's, like, the least amount of what I cover. I don't know if you still read The Athletic, Chris, but –
Yeah.
If you've seen any of my work, you see how much more in depth it is. It's the amount of my goal is to set the standard. Like, I've always said that. I've always wanted to be the guy for this. And I feel strongly that I still I've become that, but I do love that other people are doing it and doing it well. Not like they're not doing it. I don't want to sound cocky, like they're not doing as good as me, but it's the competitor in me. Everybody wants to be the best at what they do.
Sure.
I feel like I'm pushing for that. And son of a gun, Adames, did you take him?
Oh, right. I was
shortstop run just crushed me.
All right.
When I took Springer.
I just went, I was gonna go Adames and get some power, but I went with Logan Gilbert as my SP3. Going to make sure I don't get caught short. It's starting pitching. I like him. I like him all. I don't know. I like Kirby more, but I don't like Gilbert that much.
Yeah, I kind of value them very similarly as well. But so when I took Springer, I had Tim Anderson on top of my queue and Willie Adames right there. I thought one could make it back to me. I knew Tim Anderson probably wouldn't, but I thought Adames could sneak back. And then this huge shortstop run happened, and shortstop is at that cliff I don't like to be around. I don't like Ahmed Rosario. I'm really looking at shortstop hard here. If I don't take one, then I have to hope that, oh man, I can't play this game of hope. I'll take the one I like. And I know there's a lot of people not in on Jeremy Peña, but I'll take him. I like him. I like the power speed combo. And I'm not expecting the playoff version of him to be there all year, but I think he starts off the year batting top of the lineup while Brantley and Altuve's out and stuff.
Damn. Yeah. I almost got Duvall. I didn't really want Duvall, but if he fell there, that would have been nice. I don't hate Rosario, and I might take him here.
I don't either. I was going to say.
If you didn't take Peña, I was going to double tap it just to fuck you.
I mean, that's what friends are for. I appreciate that. I respect that and appreciate that, all right?
So I am taking Rosario. I'll probably take Bednar. I'll probably go next.
I would say if you didn't take Bednar, I was going to take him.
No, I mean, I'm only getting one, so I'm deciding between him and Barlow, deciding if I want to live with the Pirates or not.
I mean, the problem is the Pirates and the Chiefs, wrong sport. They're both kind of like, they are very similar in terms of like what you should expect out of them. Like, I do like Barlow, though. I like both. I really like both. And they're both right there on top of my queue, so I'm not going to lie to you. You know who's not on top of my queue? Daniel Bard. I'm not touching the Rockies closer.
I kind of wish that I didn't take two starting pitching last time, because I would have taken Hunter Green, because I just want to share Hunter Green.
I don't want to touch that.
Why? You sounded distasted with him the other day. Why not? I think he's a dark horse to lead in strikeouts.
He is. His arm also might fall.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny. Like, he got like, if he can just cut down on those ones where he has 8 strikeouts, but he gets taken out at the second inning, like he can make a big stride. I took Bednar, everyone, by the way. So I needed a closer. Duran, I love, but I feel like they could go the high leverage route there with Minnesota, and Jorge Lopez soaks up the stuff. So I'm probably gonna have like regrets about not getting a lot of the Duran shares because the guys. But yeah, I went boring in Bednar. Not that he's bad. Hopefully he gets traded to a better team like the Mets, maybe in July.
I took a fun pick in Chris Sale as my SP3.
What is your obsession? You don't want Hunter Green, but you're obsessed with Chris Sale.
Because I've seen Chris Sale do it in the past. And in spring, I know he hasn't been the best, but he's still showing the velocities there. And
he looked sharp his last time out. Just like, he looked like him.
He was grinning, the evil grin walking off.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, you know what? It was funny that I'm not even lying. I forgot about Jordan Walker. Like, I forgot about those two. So, you know, Volpe's on top of mind now for everybody.
Hold on. Someone took Walker?
That's what I'm saying. As soon as you see Walker, you know the other hot name rookies on everyone's mind too.
Duran, actually.
I'm surprised Volpe didn't go yet, and I don't care about saying his name out loud at this point.
I took Nico Horner, who I just love, and I think he's very similar to me to Ahmed Rosario. Matt, like,
yep, I love Horner. He's actually my top owned shortstop.
Yeah, 10-20
rostered, 30. Matt.
Roster. So, it's hard to
shoot. We'll get there. Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see. If I'm wondering, part of me is hoping Volpe falls to me because I only have like one share, and I would love to double tap that. I don't think
you'll get Horner to play second base in short order too, which
helps. That's
I knew I said Volpe out loud, but as soon as we saw Jordan Walker, I'm sure we all thought, Volpe. And because I'm with you. I want a Volpe share. Here's the thing. I didn't want to pay. I'm not paying main event prices. I wasn't. He went 105. And at the time on Saturday, it was before, you know, the announcement. Volpe went 105 in mine or 104. He said, Matt was with me. I think it was the min pick was set at that time. It was in my draft. And I'm okay missing out in a main event on him at that cost.
I think Ray Butler's going to take him with 2 picks. That's my prediction.
He doesn't need that skill set, though. Look at his team. He really doesn't. And he doesn't need another shortstop. I think team one has a better chance of taking him, but even though they don't really need speed, they need a shortstop. Actually, they don't need speed at all. They need starting pitch. Yeah. I'm looking ahead to see who might take him from. And the best bet would probably be, I don't know, man. Well, a couple teams like the front. It's the front end of the draft that has all of them.
Schottenfels could use some speed, and you know, because they've got Bogarts at shortstop.
Yeah.
That number four team, I'll bet that's who takes them. They've already got two starters and a closer, whereas a lot of these other people only have one of each. Who's the auto drafter here? I'm trying to find them.
I thought they were on my side. Are they on your side? I thought they were pick 14-ish or something like that, which would make sense because they have Glasnow, Iglesias, Rodon.
They've got Rodon, Iglesias,
Glasnow. That's what I'm saying. Like they have so many. They have to be the rogue drafter right now. By rogue, I mean not here in the room. Yeah, it's him. It's Hayek. I'm seeing it right now on the draft board. It shows auto under. So yeah, team 14. His team has two first basemen, a third baseman, and all pitching.
Luzardo and Jeffrey Springs. So see, this love is them. Where I feel like I love Springs. There goes Alexis Diaz. Wow, Ray Butler getting his pitching staff. I don't know.
See the way Ray attacked pitching here was the way that I attacked. That's actually almost identical to the way I attacked it in my main, just because of how pitching was going. But here we're seeing pitching fall. Don't get me wrong; it's a good area to start attack pitching, but not when you have DeGrom, Verlander, Gossman, Helsley. Unless you really, I mean, he's taking some upside here though. He has Buxton.
Yeah,
like that's a big upside swing. Ward, we all know how good he can be. It's just a matter of health. Trey Turner's a stud. I trust Ray's a good player, so to doubt him, but I'm not gonna lie and act like I like what he did there, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go Springs and Diaz there.
I think he's gonna like crush bats in the middle is his idea.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's what I would get. That makes the most sense looking at his team. I'm just looking at it and realizing, interesting.
Well, I have to be honest with you. There's so many good hitters on the board. So
I know. It's hard to look at.
There's a part of me that's, should I take Volpe? I don't know.
And then
I'm going to do it just for fun. Here he goes.
I was hoping you wouldn't. I was hoping you'd let me have him.
You know what? Who's on the top of my board, though? Christian Walker just went. So there we go. Anthony Volpe.
That made it easier for you, huh?
Yeah, made it easier for me. Because Walker, I love Walker this year, and I don't have enough of him. I think he's
I can tell you, I know. Oh, see, this is making it easier for me too, because I'm gonna take the guy that I know, Maddie over there wants, and I'm not gonna let him have him.
Oh, that's not.
I need a third. I like Matt Chapman this year. I'm not like all in on him, but I have like the fact, you know, you're getting power there, you're getting a third baseman, and kind of with him, he's kind of like at the beginning of the top. He's either at the end of the tier, depends on how you feel about Muncy. He's at the end of this one tier, beginning of another tier. Like, oh no, yeah, I know who you're taking.
Added Severino to his staff.
Dude, this auto draft team is amazing. I'm
so
happy.
It's going to win the league. There's no doubt about it.
Luis Severino, Tyler Glasnow, Raisel Iglesias, Carlos Rodon. He might take a zero for the first month in all across pitching, but at the end of the day, I think he'll end up having an amazing pitching staff come May, probably.
What are you doing here, buddy?
He's going to take Joe Ryan. I'm not taking him, so I know you. Okay, so I was thinking Barlow. I'm glad you made that decision easier for me on the way back.
There's another player that I would love to get.
We're in this fun area of players, like fun as in frustrating, because it's hard to really pick them. It's hard to pick from them, I should say. But
I really want to take Joe Ryan.
I know you do. He's your guy. Gotta get one of your guys on this team.
Did you get Barlow? You waited a whole round and you got Barlow, huh?
Yeah, I got Barlow.
Yeah, Barlow was up there with Matt Chapman for me.
I had to take Murphy. I just hate that. I mean, I only like him and like one other catcher left on the board. I got to get at least one of them.
Murphy was top. It was Murphy and Chapman for me, but I didn't trust you not to take Chapman because I know you like him. And I didn't want to settle for the other third baseman behind Chapman. Plus, I wanted to address power because I have enough speed right now. And I feel like I was lacking. Now I'm going to take some speed here. A guy that I'm really in on, Jonathan India.
Hmm.
I really like India this year. Lead off, average, stolen bases, top of the lineup. He's been I think there was talks about India just getting back into more comfortable regular offseason and stuff like that. And I take value in a player getting comfortable. I think that's not we talked about enough. A player's mindset, mental health, and mindset entering a year and comfort level. He's healthy. India, I think, is in for a decent bounce back. I'm not saying he's gonna be great, but we're talking about Great America Small Park too. You know.
Yeah, I agree.
Chris, is that who you wanted to fall? Hap?
Yeah, I wanted Hap. I love Hap. I think there's so many parts of his profile that look like
so safe.
He could put it to like he's if he just does what he did, I'm set. But there's signs there across the board that it's together. So I'm hoping that happens. I don't know. He's like I wrote this in the article today or yesterday. Like he was basically an outfield two. He finished last year as like the 90th player in player value on like Rasball's player rater, and he's getting drafted in the 140s. And like he's 28, and the lineup's better, and he's gonna hit. I just don't get it. I'm not. I think that there could be another level there. And he's the type of guy that looks to me he could benefit from the base dealing. Good, smart base dealer.
Yeah, Hap's always been a fun player. He's always been a guy I've been in on too. Like I feel like I remember was it last year maybe I was really in on him but didn't get any, and then this year I have a little bit more of him. Not a guy. We're getting to this area where I think I'm addressing some guys I liked later in draft season, like Chapman. I started liking a lot just because of, again, that power potential there. India was a guy I realized I like a lot, especially seeing his spring. It's the fact that he had two times as many walks as strikeouts at one point in spring. And I'm like, I need a healthy India in my life. And then the skill set, just, you know, a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, and that ballpark, man. I was like, okay, I'm going to get India. If nothing else. Damn it, Telez.
Oh, that's my other guy. Damn it. He was the top of my board.
He's been flying up draft boards.
He's on my list of guys that I think I've got him in like 30% of my leagues.
It's easy. He's good. It's simple. He was vastly underpriced. Roddy Telez was vastly underpriced all draft season.
Yeah, that was weird, right? Like he was really falling.
There was no reason he should have been drafted behind the Rhys Hoskins. I did have Rhys Hoskins ahead of him, but they were 1A, 1B for me, and I kept taking Hoskins, and that burned me up, obviously. But it's frustrating because I always did prefer Hoskins. I should have honestly liked Rowdy more just because of the ADP difference at them too.
Well, this is one of the reasons one of my biggest fades of the year was Matt Olson, because like I just feel like those two, there's a lot of first basemen that are within like – but Matt Olson range of outcomes that go way later. Like, you know,
isn't that what Rob Silver was that Rob Silver's comp too? I think initially, I thought I heard
it might've been, I just looking at Christian Walker. And when you do, you can look at, I wrote it. Like you can look at this, like, and Bubba was also talking about this. Yeah. I think Bubba was the one I had thought about it too, cause I've been drafting Rowdy all off season, but Bubba actually said it out loud. I remember I was driving and I was like, shut up, Bubba.
Isn't that fun when you start yelling at your friends? Like, because we all know each other these days, you know. So you hear someone talking about a player, you're like, stop it, and then you text them. Like the instant. Sorry, I go off a tangent. I'll let you finish. I promise. But Rob Silver tweeted about Nelson Cruz last night, and not that Cruz is a world beater, but I really liked him week one just because he had the four games, two lefties, four Rockies pitchers. Even though it's in San Diego, I was really in on him as a streamer and a 15 teamer just because of those factors. Plate appearances, middle of the order lineup. Of the lineup, et cetera, et cetera. But then he tweeted about him, and I lost him 2-1, which might be a blessing in disguise. No guarantee Cruz is anything special. But for week one, I was intrigued, and I blame. So, yeah, it goes back to the same thing that you're about to talk about with an analyst you respect says something. You're like, stop.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I think it's like one of those things where you could take I'm going to pull it up. But, like, if you look at the first baseman you can get later versus other positions – and you like, but sometimes that's like helpful to do is sometimes I think one of the things that's helpful to do is to say, okay, let me look at literally two positions and what I could get at different points in the draft. Right. And like Matt Olson is going in the third round. And when you look at some of the other talented players is going in the third round, and then you combine it with what it looks like. So Jorge Polanco and Matt Olson or Rowdy Telez and Jazz Chisholm. Rowdy and Jazz every time. Right. And then another one, this is my favorite one, was you could either have Matt Olson and Daniel Bard or Jordan Romano and Christian Walker. It's just like,
that speak for itself right there, you know? Yeah, man. And then you Alec Bohm this year. Alec Bohm and Brian Hayes have my attention this year, not because they're anything special, but because both of them packed on muscle with the idea of hitting for more power, and both have in spring. And again, that's what goes back to watching spring stats, because you're not looking for the actual number, but you're looking at intent and outcome, you know. And both I haven't checked Bohm in a while, but Bohm was on track. But I know Brian Hayes, I looked at today, I'm like, wow, he's actually like hitting extra base hits and for power this spring. And we know the hit tools there and all the other stuff. So I'm intrigued by him.
Yeah, I think Bohm is a nice. He's one of the reasons I don't hate third base. I think he's going to be good batting average, and I think he's going to be just. And I think he could push 20 home runs. It wouldn't surprise me. So I'm going to take. I just took Rizzo. I would rather have had Rowdy, who generally goes behind Rizzo, but that's okay.
Yeah, and Matt's going to get his wish because as much as I'm eyeing Joe Ryan right now, I don't think he fits this team. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really like Joe Ryan. I think Joe Ryan is in the discussion with Lizardo, who went two rounds ahead of him.
Yeah.
So, as much as I want him, I really don't like chasing.
I'm not going to get Joe Ryan because this auto person is going to take him.
As much as I like Joe Ryan, I think I'm going to pass on him because
I can't believe I'm not going to get Ryan because of an auto pick.
No, you might not get him because of me now, because I'm really thinking twice.
Well, either way, I'm not getting him, so I won't.
No, you're not. But there's a value here. I want to get a starting pitcher, and it was honestly, I was thinking I can take something else here, pass on this, and get Bass on the way back, but I think I'm going to take my chances, so I'm taking him from you.
Sorry, I wasn't getting him anyway.
No, you weren't. Which is crazy because this guy would have just, you're right, he would have just auto-drafted him. So honestly, I'm happy I took him from you because I really took it from you.
I'd rather you have him than this person.
Yes, thank you.
Treat him well.
Oh, I plan to, good sir. I plan to. But yeah, it was because I was looking at Chris Bassett. I'm not afraid of Bassett this year. Like other people, because I know again, it goes back to spring velocity, but then he's like, it's on purpose. I'm like, well, Chris Bassett makes for a great, you know, SP3, SP4 range. You're getting him in SP4 range. He fell in this draft a little bit. He's falling a little bit, I should say. So I have no problem with him personally, but I am looking. There goes Chris Bassett. There goes. Yeah, I would have been upset if I passed on Ryan. Wouldn't have gotten Ryan or Bassett there. So yeah, I'm glad I went with my gut and took a starter.
Yeah, I'm not a Bassett guy this year. Cherry worries me a little bit. The velocity worries me a little bit. I know he said he was working on, but what are you going to say? It wouldn't surprise me if he was good, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was bad. And there are other guys I think. Yeah. Also, he's an older guy, so I'd rather. There are other guys. There are a lot of pitchers in range that I dig that have a little more upside. I think
a little safer. Right.
There you go.
When Miranda went, I was so nervous because those Miranda and Hayes were my fallbacks. I'm just sitting here quietly, like, oh my god, Hayes ain't making it to me.
I'm upset.
And then Curlin brings him up. I'm like, son of a.
Well, I don't want him. Oh yeah, my bad. he already had a third baseman. I had my third baseman.
Well, no,
I
mean, you know what? You never know with people because he's such a unique player. You don't know. People will just take him out of order regardless just because of the unique speed. You know, other than J-Ram and him, there's how many third basemen really? I mean, well, I guess, like, you know, how many third basemen really have to. Yeah.
So we have a lot of picks that we haven't talked about. I don't know if you guys want to talk. Matt, you can go over your team a little bit, where you're at, where your head's at in terms of how you think you're doing so far. And then obviously, because Chris is going to pick here shortly. I took Riley Green just now, so, and I'm happy with him. I'm happy. Happy boy. Anyway.
You know, it's funny. I told you I tend to draft teams that are light on power. So I took Pete. My next four hitters were Robert Mullins, Rosario, and Hayes. That's why I took Hunter Renfro.
Yes.
Because I started to steer into the lighter hitting speed guys. Not that they give you zeros in power, but like I start to fall behind. So it's just something I tend to do. So Hunter Renfro, he's always a guy I like lean on towards the back, plus him and Rowdy. But like you guys said, Rowdy is a crowd pleaser. It just doesn't last very long.
Yeah, and I'm so far. So Chris took Jordan Montgomery. So that gives Chris this Cody Bellinger thing he's got off my screen. That gives you Logan Gilbert, Montgomery, Ray, and Wheeler. How do you feel about your starting?
I mean Montgomery. Like, I mean, for some reason the Yankees wouldn't score runs from him. He didn't get any wins, but it feels like a really. I love him in St. Louis. Great defense. He'd be fine. Good ballpark and. I've also have four pitchers on winning teams, and that's not an accident, right? So yeah. I think that allows me to take some shots on players like on the Marlins or the A's or the Red Sox. I'm joking. They're not going to be that bad at all. They're going to be actually better than people think. But it allows me to take some shots and not worry as much about where I take wins later. Also, I think Montgomery and Gilbert both like help me with the Robbie Ray whip.
Yeah, the Robbie Ray whip issue is kind of like, it's just funny because it's, I don't know, it's true. It's just what he's known for. And it's like, I want him to not have that issue.
He was 119 last year. I'll take that, right? I mean,
yeah, that's sad. Like, but it's also coming off a Cy Young year, you know, we knew there was regression coming, but it's like he really decided to lean back into the high whip, or a high whip for an ace, I should say. But yeah, that's where I'm at. So I feel like I took a little bit of upside here, having Garrett Cole. And I feel, again, I feel safer with Darvish as an anchor. So a Cole-Darvish combo, getting Sale and Ryan, I took a little upside there. I don't think there's a lot of security in those two, although I do trust Ryan more than most. I know, Matt, you're with me on that. So Sale, I just really like what I'm seeing in spring, and I'm willing to take a shot on him. I was in on him so much last year and kind of faded him early on this year that he was a guy that I just had to get a couple of late shares on, because I was like, I'm not missing out. I refuse to miss out again on that. So that's really where that came from. Otherwise, hitting-wise, Guerrero, Chapman, and Springer give me power. Riley Green, Carroll, Pena, India. I'm kind of attacking it. I feel a little light on power still, but ultimately I feel like I'm always light on power though. I think last year kind of scarred us, you know? And then this year we have all these stolen bases in spring. All I can think about is being light on power. That's on my mind ever. Like, just, I need more power, but I probably don't. And that's when I should have I should be sitting here doing my chart to help get my, what's it called? Help me out here, somebody.
Projections.
Like, thank you. Because projections are that, for that reason, they are a guide. Like, you don't need to swear by them. But if you have a full-on system like, you know, Phil does as a robot, sure, by all means, do your thing, robot. Dude, the pictures, speaking of Phil, tangent. I was seeing those pictures from Vegas, or maybe it was New York. I think it was Vegas.
Phil wasn't in New York.
Okay, perfect. So Phil's standing there. One of them is Phil up against the wall, staring at these players playing. I picture it was like Terminator, where he's looking at them, and like all the stats of the person pop up in front of, in like a little bubble on each player he's looking at as they're drafting. And it was just that's what popped into my head thinking about him, because you can picture it, right? He's standing there up against the wall, just sitting there like motionless. It's a picture, but you see him dead staring at the draft table that's going on, or draft board, whatever. And I picture that type of deal with him. Like, he's just a machine. And it's obviously a good thing. I'm not saying anything bad about him, but that's what I was picturing, like the way he's just reading everything, you know, analyzing everything. I love that. Wow. Guy's so smart.
Gabriel Moreno got jumped in this one. I wasn't ready for that. I was hoping to pick him here. I don't have any catchers yet. And I think I do like my power, but I also like getting catchers that don't kill my batting average. So I'm going to go with Danny Jansen here. I think he's a little bit underrated as a hitter. I think he's going to get plenty of bats in Toronto. Varsho is not going to be behind that plate. He's going to be in the outfield, but I was hoping to get Moreno there, and I don't have enough of him.
See, and then we just had what's his face go? David Robertson. And that was a pick that's like, I really like that pick here. I honestly forgot about him again. I have a bad habit of remembering that stuff.
I think the room in general forgot about him, because I was about to take him. I'm like, oh my god, no one's taking him.
It's just one of those things where I have a hard time. Usually I make a list, and I knew I was gonna get on here, talk to you guys, hang out, and this was gonna be more fun than work. I kind of forgot that I plan on jumping ADP for certain players. Like, here, I'll jump this player again, second time, just because I want a closer, and I think Estevez is gonna close, and I think Estevez is being over, like, underdrafted. I mean, his ADP is like 100 picks from now, and I wasn't gonna play that game with if freaking Robertson's getting pulled up. Why would I wait on?
Jansen was just jumped about 60 picks over ADP. Moreno, just to give you an idea. And this is a good thing, like, good to know, especially I think this happens later in draft season. People are willing to just go get their guys because they've had a few drafts already. You're not following ADP as much. It gets a little wild late in draft season. So everyone's kind of just going to get their guys right now, and ADP's out the window pretty much.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, we're at that point now where ADP really just is whatever. Like, I feel like, especially if you look at ADP from mains to this, you can talk yourself into doing this. It's a little easier because now you're looking at ADP from these drafts compared to this draft. And then we have a whole bunch of new news, new information. Players made teams, players got cut, players won position battles, you know, like, that matters. Like, and we can't just ignore that. We have to react. I'm surprised. Oh, wait. Well, Matt doesn't draft Mets. Never mind. But there is a Mets player out here. I'm surprised that you aren't looking at, just because it's, I'm not going to talk. I'll let you pick.
Oh, Nemo?
Yeah, your boy.
Yeah. Instead, I'm going to take this guy.
No, he topped my cue. he was. Masataka Yoshida was top of my cue as well. Just
He was my dark horse for MVP, not rookie of the year, but MVP.
What? If I didn't need a close,
dark horse. That is obviously a 101th percentile. Like, I think this guy, I've been watching him in like a World Baseball Classic. I mean, he's going to bat towards the top of that lineup, which I think is going to be a lot better than people think. Like,
yeah, me
this
too.
Guy, when they signed him, I got to say, I was like, man, they look like they overpaid. But now I think there's like, if his batting average is what I think it could be, I think he's my front runner for the rookie of the year, at least. But I think there's 100 runs there. I think he could be a beat. We'll see. But I definitely have been trying to vacuum up shares of him towards the back. I've been having to grab him a little earlier now than I have before. But I think there's a possible monster in
you. Yeah, well, Yoshida, I'm going to take my other guy here, corner infielder, another third baseman, Josh. Is it Jung or Young? It's Young, right?
Young.
I think it's Young, yeah.
Yeah, so Josh Young's a guy that I've been really in on this, like, towards the end of draft season, just because I really liked his. I had him. He was actually one of my guys. He was my first third baseman I drafted of the draft season back in November. So I've been in on. I can say I've been in on him since day one. Literally, it's just one of those things where I kind of got off of him because third base was kind of a mess. I tried to attack it early, but then I'm realizing, like, you know, he moved his hands a little bit and stuff, like little small changes, but we saw results. I'm trying to pull up his spring now, actually, Rangers. And I'm curious to see if it's followed through because we're 986 OPS, a 313 batting average, and Young has a 15% strikeout rate. And that's honestly what matters most to me. I wanted to see Young get the strikeouts under control. Not a guarantee that he did, but out of 15 hits, guys, nine of his 15 hits have been extra base hits this spring. That's not nothing. That shows me that shows me the shoulder's healthy after maybe, you know, needing a year to get right.
Yeah.
So I like Josh Young there, especially because now it gives me flexibility at third base. I was going to take Josh Naylor, but he already went ahead of time. So I was going to take Josh Naylor for power. I think Josh Young can give me some decent pop still, though, which I wanted to get a little more power. And I don't think he's necessarily a zero for speed either, which is, you know, maybe might be a surprise for some people to hear, but yeah, I don't think he's a zero for speed. There's a lot of interesting pitchers out here right now. We're in an interesting area for pitchers.
Yeah, I paired Danny Jansen with Keibert Ruiz. If I don't get, generally what I like actually doing is going a little higher and getting the Sean Murphy, Wilson Contreras, William Contreras, one of those, and then going a little later. But since I missed out on that tier, I went with these guys, just both like very high floors for a catcher. And Keibert may actually have, like, you know, he's only like 25, I think, 24, 25. He could make a little jump there. He does have a hit tool. He was, you know, a big focus of the big deal. Who did they trade him for? They brought with the Dodgers. He came over with Josiah Gray. Was it Trey Turner?
Oh, the Ruiz trade? Oh, man, I have to look that up. I'm terrible at remembering trades. I'm not going to lie to you, not like I know.
But, that might have been the Trey Turner went from the Nats to the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, I believe so. That was the. Scherzer was after the seat, right? No, Scherzer. Wait, what? I'm trying to remember.
No, Scherzer and Turner were the same trade.
Were they? Okay, they were. That's right. Thank you. Okay, I remember Scherzer there for like 3 months or 2 months, but I couldn't quite remember how. Same trade.
Keibert Ruiz, Josiah Gray, and two other prospects for Scherzer and Turner.
That's probably how they got the return they did, by having both go there. And at the time, Ruiz being the big name prospect that, you know, he was.
Yep.
The Cubs are in advanced discussions to extend Nico Horner.
Yes. Cool. My corner, like the cornerstone of my offense.
Make him happy. Pay the man and make him happy.
Pay the man and make him happy.
That's all we can do. Okay, so I'm going to bring up a name. I don't really need him. So I won't bring him up. I don't know who needs him. I don't know if anyone here even likes him.
Just bring him up. I don't care. I mean, I don't care. Bring him up.
Well, I don't want to be that guy that, you know, does that. You know, but at the end of the day, I also don't care if I am. Well, no, I'm talking about just between the two of you, in case you guys want him. I don't want him. I know I don't. Yeah, people listening, this isn't live, and no one's watching live, so we're good. I'm talking about Ramon Laureano. I'm not sure how I feel about him. He's whatever to me.
I mean, there's the if you want to buy the narrative, he wants to hit his way out of Oakland, right? That's the nut there. He has power, he has speed, he has bad batting average. You know, if he can stay healthy, I think he'll at least earn his draft position. But, you know, he's got a knucklehead. Second of all, he's got injury histories, and third of all, he's got batting average problems. So, you know, I'm not even thinking about him here because there's just so many other people that I prefer. But if he falls, he's not someone that I'm opposed to.
Yeah, I mean, I usually like him as a power speed guy, but me sitting here with four outfielders at this point, he's not. It's really not even a consideration for me at the moment.
Yeah, he's not on your radar at all. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, either he is. He's neither. Neither is he with me, and that's because I have Corbin Carroll, Springer, and Riley Green. I don't need more injury concerns and power speed combos. up there, you know, between Springer and the injury concern, obviously between Springer and I thought I drafted another one. Maybe not. No, I think Springer's kind of my main injury. Oh, I guess Hader, in case if you don't think he's healthy from last year type of thing. But I don't know. There's a couple. I'm just this is a weird part of the draft where I'm just scrolling through the ADP and taking who I like without really thinking about ADP at this point. I think we talked about how kind of we just throw out the window here. But
I would have really liked Casas. I think Casas is in for a big year. I was hoping to tag him. He was he would have been my next pick if he went. So whoever just grabbed him, nice pick there. I think he's
Charles.
Way underdrafted.
Well, especially now that he's break, you know, there's no chance he doesn't break camp, all that good stuff for sure. I think there is a easy path to return on investment there.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope this guy auto drafts Morrell at his ADP. I really hope he does. Okay, I'm gonna have some fun here, guys. When it gets to me, and waiting for Chris to pick. Although I need catcher. Like, I can't really keep ignoring catcher.
Miguel Vargas go. I missed that. I have a lot of. He's one of my most rostered guys too.
I had a hard time with his ADP.
Yeah. Oh, I think his ADP's been fine.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just got Jorge Lopez. I know Yonder on's a better pitcher, but I feel like he's going to give me 20 saves this year. And 20 saves in round 15 is good. And he's had a great spring, looked good in WC. So
I love it. I love that pick. That's a great pick.
I think so too. Yeah, I was with you guys. I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm looking at this. I think it's becoming more common thought too, thinking that Lopez is going to be more of the closer. And I think there was some talk about him fixing something in the offseason, getting back to his ways. All right.
What are you doing, Kurland?
I'm going to have some fun here. I have zero shares of this guy in 15s. It's probably a dumb pick, and I don't care. I'm taking Kelnick.
Wow.
I'm taking Kelnick at 222. Oh,
you're just saying how much you don't need Reloriano.
No, I know. I want to have fun, guy. This is a fun pick. It is a partially FOMO pick on the 1 year I've not been on him at all. But this is my fourth outfielder. I do feel confident in replacing him with some bench outfield, which I plan on being rather aggressive in the reserve rounds for outfield anyway because of Springer. So if Kelnick fails, I'll be more than prepared.
But I feel like that was a Simeone spite pick.
And it's always a Simeone spite pick. Anything I can do to spite the guy. No, but really it was. Kelnick was just a fun pick. I really like I like how I built my outfield where I feel like Kelnick as my outfielder 4 and a 15-teamer is – I can, again, it's the replaceability. And then when you look at the other outfielders available, if you are looking at outfield, it's guys like Benintendi, Meneses. So I'm not a Meneses guy. It goes back to Laureano. I'm not a Laureano guy too much. I did take Laureano, and I do have Laureano ranked ahead of him, but I took him already. I have Laureano. I don't need – I want. So I was like, Austin Hayes, Austin Meadows. Like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and take what I thought was a safe, sure thing. The opposite of safe and sure. A fun thing in Jerry Kelnick, a very fun and polarizing pick. A pick that can be not league winning, but a huge boost if he actually is even a 250, 240, 250 hitter this year. Because with Kelnick, none of us question the talent. Like, we know the tools are there, right? Like, there's no questioning the tools.
Right.
We know, like, that's not even an issue. It's a matter of
I'm sure Eric Cross is thrilled.
Oh, yes. Those guys, Cross and Simeone, I love messing with them about stuff. But
what'd you do here, Matt? You went for a lot of batting average there.
I do like Gurriel a lot.
Gurriel and Arias.
I really let second base get away from me, and there was runs on constantly when I was going to try to wait. There was a big run on like a few people I wanted, so I really got to a point where like, all right, I just need to take a guy that I'm comfortable with. So I figured with the kind of team I was building, I could afford to take Arias, who showed off a weird amount of power in the World Baseball Classic.
I just realized. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it.
I keep interrupting people. I have a bad habit of doing.
Well, I'm going to draft a second baseman here who's also going to give me third base, and I like him, just across the board guy, John Segura, also a little batting average. So power, speed, going to give me second and third. And but yeah, not the batting average that Arias has, but his teammate.
Yeah, I don't know. I took Tyler Molly, and I realized I have Molly and Ryan, and I don't like doing that usually. But I do like the Twins this year. I think the Twins are always
Molly's my.
Oh yeah,
I have Molly on eight of 20 teams.
Oh, I took Molly on my main event. It gives you an idea of how high I'm big on him. He's a guy that I have a lot. Oh, no, I didn't. I missed on Molly. I took Sonny Gray. I think I missed on Molly. That was the thing. I wanted Molly, but I have Molly on a bunch of teams. He's been a guy I've been really on too. So I feel like you and I are on a lot of the same guys. So me and you're going to have really good or bad draft seasons together.
Well, the thing about Molly, is like, you shouldn't be able to get a guy who struck out 200 pitchers to go with good ratio. And he looks good. Like if he was
he's my SP5 too. So there's like no risk there.
Yep.
I'm looking right now. Like, it was between him and Berrios, and I like Berrios. I think Berrios is a safe pick this late. I am a little scared that he doesn't figure it out, but there was a lot going on with him. I think something with like family. There was family issues with him last year. This year, he's talked about how he entered spring trying to, you know, he had his mind right. He was back on his game. I'm trying to see what his numbers were in spring though. I don't know that he had a great spring. I just remember reading about him at the beginning of spring. And so far in spring, a 2.70 ERA and a 1.6 WHIP is not ideal. But he's been able
all
to limit
sample. All sample.
Yeah. Believe the ERA. ERA is a stat, right? It's the most important stat according to Jeff Zimmerman. He loves ERA, right? That's the rumor.
That's the rumor.
But no, but it's just one of those things where I'm interested, I'm intrigued, but I do trust Molly more, and I realize that Berrios could be more of a name, but it's weird. Berrios has been such a solid, steady guy for so many years. How are we suddenly just going to ignore all these years of production because of one bad season? That's why I'm like, I don't know if we should be doing that. Do either of you have any thoughts on that at all? Am I wrong to be thinking that we shouldn't? You know, am I wrong for thinking that? Maybe I am.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I got lost in the falls. Made a lot of people see. You're talking about Berrios, right? Right, Mike. And
yes.
There's another pitcher. Right. There's another pitcher out there who's not dissimilar. Who I'm thinking about as well. That you just maybe think of in terms of had a great, not as much of a track record as Berrios, but I think Berrios at this point is worth the dart, especially because you're going to be able to take him out if you you're going to have depth here. You're a couple of your reserve pitchers are going to pitch, and we're in the 15th.
Yeah. That's why, and I've had a hard time taking catcher here. I need a catcher. I have none. You both have at least one. You have two, Chris. I know you're good, but I'm having a hard time taking catcher here. And I actually really like Jonah Heim, so he's a guy that's top of mind right now. But I just don't know if there's a lot of difference between him and the other guys like right behind him. So I've been kind of playing the chicken game with catcher, which is dumb. I should address it because I feel pretty good about my team otherwise. Kelnick, again, I think Kelnick, not that he was a mistake pick, but because I'm having fun, I feel the need to shore up outfield as well. So I have a lot. That's why I'm afraid to take but there's a lot of players here I really like. I have a lot of players top of my queue, and none of them are an outfielder or a catcher. So I'm like, I got to just address team need over want. And I know that, but at the same time, I'm not going to. So I'm hoping that I know Matt can have Heim. I know Matt doesn't like Heim, so it kind of makes me feel better skipping on him. But
why do you think I don't like Heim?
I think you told me. I thought you told me.
Or did I?
I don't care. You can have him. I have a backup plan, maybe. Maybe I have a backup plan. Not sure. But yeah, there's a couple guys here. I'm looking at the top.
And around 17 of a 50 round draft, you're in the wrong room, right?
Kyle.
Oh, that's who I wanted.
That defense is so sketchy, man. He's fun.
That's genius.
There's a lot of good pitching still.
Agreed.
I see a lot of pitching. Like, I'm glad I took Molly. And I still value Molly a lot over a lot of these guys. But there's some pitching here. And honestly, some relief pitching here. I'm surprised it's still here. And I wasn't going to say nothing, but now I'm getting kind of curious. I'm like, all right, I might be taking myself a relief pitcher here.
Hopefully we'll there were two guys I was eyeing. One, Cobb was the top guy, Wesneski.
Yeah, Wesneski. Well, Clark Schmidt went like five rounds ago. Hunter Brown, I guess the back scared people, and he dropped like 50 picks or 40 picks.
Right. Well, I just grabbed Michael Fulmer, who tons of places, and I just feel like he feels like the Cubs closer in around 17. It's probably a little bit too early, but
no, it's not. Main event ADP was 223.
Is that right?
Yep, and he was top of my queue too, by the way. For what it's worth, and then this guy
in draft champions, closers are worth.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I just took Reynaldo Lopez because he's kind of in that conversation for me. Absolutely. I think it's
another one of my favorite guys.
Now the funny thing is Alex Lang is still there, and we both passed on him. And I've been a big Alex Lang guy, but I was big on him when he was free in drafts, not when he's been costing what he's been costing. And I don't trust him to hold the role. Just because of that control and spring's been real iffy. And I really liked him. But he has the stuff. I don't know if he has the control.
Yeah, I'm not a big Lang guy. I just it doesn't seem like he knows where the ball's going.
Yeah, that's the problem. I know this. No one's questioning the stuff. That's the thing. No one here has any issues with the stuff or questions it. We question is if he can locate it. But yeah, so I had the same idea as you. I was gonna go Fulmer. I feel more confident in Fulmer than Ronaldo Lopez, but I really like Lopez, and I'm taking a shot on him here. I'm willing to spec on him as my third closer here. A little early for a third closer, but I don't like to chase saves in the later round beyond like these rounds as we get into.
I don't mind it. Fulmer was just too much of a value there. I would have taken Cobb over him, to be honest. I think Nick Pollock and I were having a conversation in New York weeks ago, and it was just like, you know, there's a level there that is, there's another level there if he can. He's good as it is, so.
No, so I was wrong. My guy, my Lopez was going around 283, so in mains with a min of 241. So I kind of went towards the min pick. It was your Lopez that, I just typed in Lopez on the search and realized it was your Lopez that was going at 258, and then Fulmer going way ahead of both of them. I think Fulmer had a min pick of like 163, 189 in mains, 223. Oh, trust me, I'm a little annoyed that you took.
That was a snake. I wanted Will Myers as another one of my guys, and it would have been nice to get him there because I could use a cornerback, use a little power. That was a rough one.
Okay, I guess it's about time I take a.
Is that you, Maddie? You took Will.
Yeah, that was me. Sorry, buddy.
That's all right. And Jonah Heim, just to spike.
You did take Heim. That's fine. I have my backup plan, which isn't.
Yeah, I have no problem with Heim for the record, which you now know. I swear I didn't do it because you wanted him. I did it because I wanted my second catcher, and I actually do have him separated a bit above the rest of the.
Okay, so yeah, I think I have Heim. I see. We talked about this. I swear you didn't like him. I don't care. I'm not mad. I don't care at all. I'm gonna take Yasmani Grandal, and I'm okay with like whatever. I'm hoping that what I've read about him getting into like a better workout regimen to stay healthy, to get back on track, the strong spring, the lack of competition for playing time. Really, I'm okay with Grandal as my first catcher. And there's power there. It goes back to now batting average might be an issue, but I get power. And I like other guys too. I'm not really too much. It is a draft champion. Not
there was a guy I was about to take, but after taking like Arias and Yoshida and Gurriel back to back to back, it's ridiculous.
Oh, just like another high upside guy?
Yeah. I guess I'll mention him once he's picked. I'm not going to take him, but Yandy Diaz. After taking Arias,
I can't take all those guys.
After all those guys.
Unless I took Yandy and put him in my util, there goes Garrett Mitchell, son of a gun. I just put him at the top of my queue. I don't need that, but I just saw him and I was like, I should have taken him earlier anyway. But I should have taken Mitchell over Kelnick, but I really wanted a Kelnick share. I really want. I mean, I'm probably going to regret where I took him, like if we're being honest, but whatever. I can't say I care. If I miss, I miss. It's one share. I have plenty of other options. I really
like. I grabbed Justin there, which, you know, I love.
Solid safe.
Just a good guy, good glue guy, batting average. Like you said, Matt, I like the Red Sox offense. People do.
Yeah. I have Sale, so I hope you're right. I really hope you're right.
We haven't released it yet, but we're doing the game day, we're doing the article for the bold predictions, and I said one earlier. One of mine's like the Diamondbacks make the playoff, which I don't think is actually that crazy. If the Phillies fall off and the Milwaukee doesn't deliver, which isn't crazy, I think they're kind of in the pack there for next in line. But my other one was Rays finish last in the AL East, and I wouldn't bet on that. I would bet they finish third, but I was just making the case for the Red Sox to be a lot better than people think they are. And if the young guys for the Orioles step up, you know, McClanahan had the shoulder thing, Glasnow never really, you know, can stay healthy. Like they're kind of walking a tight rope. Like I think the bottom three in that division is going to be a lot tighter than people think. I mean, the Rays were just as close to last place as they were to second place last year. So I don't know. That was one of my predictions, but it had more to do with me thinking the Red Sox would not be anywhere near as bad as people think. So I really, the bold prediction should have been Red Sox don't finish last. Then it wouldn't have pissed off Rays fans.
Well, I mean, so basically when you say Rays fans, you mean Yancy and Jason Clay.
Yeah, Yancy and Jason.
Listen, there's more Rays fans than you know Marlins fans. I think I'm the only one in the industry. I know there's a few. Wait, there's
There's the whole British guys for some reason.
Yeah, but those
Peter
are real...
Peter Pratt could be the number one fan of any team in the world.
Yes, and I'm proud to call him a Marlins fan. Oh, Nick Gordon and Colton Wong for Ray Butler. I guess Gordon.
There goes
Gordon. I feel like we all had Gordon like in our queue. I had Gordon's guy that everyone should like. He's just so solid. Kind of boring, but the positional eligibility is nice.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly. I was very much.
Yeah, I have a guy top of my queue I really hope falls. I don't know if he's going to. It's getting close to being able to see him on the top of the ADP board. That's the problem. You still have to scroll a little bit. Don't get me wrong. But I do have a guy top of mind that I really want here. And if you take him, we're going to fight, Chris. Because I think if anyone takes him, let me look at your team. Oh, yeah. If anyone takes him, I think it might just. I like the Elvis Andrews pick. I know he's not really what he used to be, but seeing Andrews pop with the White Sox, get the chance to go back there, he's going to gain second base eligibility. I think there's something to that. Something we shouldn't exactly ignore, I should say, anyway. I would ask where you're looking. Part of me doesn't want to know. I want to be angry you know what? I don't want to be angry, but at the same time, I think it would make for good podcasting. I'm ruining it. I really hope you don't. You don't understand. You know when they tell you don't ever get set like on a player? Well, I'm kind of there. I'm kind of set like on the idea of this one player. And you're never supposed to do that. I know that. And I have other options. Like I have backup plans in place. Okay. I just moved another guy to the top of my queue.
Here's a guy that I don't have any of, and it's coming from a position of need. So hopefully he's a little bit better than I am.
Thank you.
Torkelson. Torkelson.
No, Tork's been crushing the ball this spring, which is nice. He hired a mental health coach. That's a fun fact. And unfortunately, the whole article was paywalled, so I couldn't read it, which upset me because I really was curious about, because again, he's like 21, he's young, 22, 23-year-old kid. He's young kids. Seeing a kid like that coming off his struggles, hire somebody to help with mental health, I think that's a big deal, especially in today's world society, how mental health is kind of, at the forefront of things. I think seeing Ashcraft just went off the board. Seeing a player address that in his life that young, and there's my guy, Oswaldo Cabrera.
Oh, nice.
It fit your team too, because I saw that you haven't taken an outfielder for a while. So I'm like, he could easily take Cabrera.
The reason I went with Torque, Cabrera was in consideration. The reason I went with Torque was because Rizzo's my only first baseman. With Rizzo's back, you want to have some.
I get it. I don't have another first baseman yet. So I'm with you. I have one. Don't get me wrong. My one is Vlad.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little different than he's slightly better than Anthony.
Slightly, but it's still one injury. Now I like having two first basemen early, but I kind of went the other way and got two third basemen early, because third base, like right now, I actually like a lot more third basemen than I do first basemen available. A lot more. Like if you go look at the two, you'll realize, oh wow, there are a lot of nice, like decent little third basemen compared to the first base. Although there are, I think there's good of both. Outfield is very intriguing. There's a lot. See, I'm glad I took Kelnick. I'm looking at outfield right now and see a lot of Cabrera. I had no problem being my four. So if Kelnick sucks, there's still I still have a lot of outfielders in my queue.
Oh, I love outfield still.
I'm really happy with how I addressed. I'm really happy with the Kelnick pick now. This is one of those that it worked out taking the shot, because now if I hit on Kelnick, boom, amazing. If he sucks, fine. I have other options. Cabrera is also risky because I don't know. You're a Yankee fan, Chris. Maybe you can speak on this more. I think Cabrera starts regardless of Bader being in the lineup or not. I think he would start over Hicks, but I do know that Hicks seems to have this thing on management.
All over Brian Cashman, yes.
I don't know what's going on.
I think if Cabrera hits, he's that simple. They need bats. So that lineup is not that overwhelmingly good. So I think that's really what it comes down to. I think he'll get a shot off the bat, and if he hits, he'll continue to play.
Shot off the bat. Sorry, you did the pun, and I just couldn't. I was like, yeah, I mean, it worked. But yeah,
what did we? Matt, you just took two old men.
He couldn't say no to Diaz. He can't say no to Diaz ever.
It's like a thing. I get. In these really long drafts, I get bogged down. I'm like, all right, well, like I need to draft more players I need earlier on. And I'm like, I just like Diaz so much earlier than this. I was just not going to let him go because I'll end up having a need anyway.
So tell me, how long is this guy's leash in New York, Matt?
Carrasco or Peterson?
David Peterson.
Well, I mean, considering the circumstances, incredibly long.
Well, I wasn't sure if McGill, how much you think McGill, how long of a leash? If Peterson has a couple two bad starts, three bad starts, like will it take a bad month for Peterson to get knocked out of the rotation for McGill?
Yeah, probably.
That's what I'm saying. Does he have that type of leash?
Yeah, I mean, McGill had some problems. They'll probably have him down. Now that Peterson's been given the job and they sent McGill down, they'll give Peterson at least a month. And then, you know, Quintana's out for quite a while too, and they already said that they could use six-man rotations at times. So I think in general, Peterson could float back and forth between the minors just because of, like, to get relievers up. And who knows, like, if it's not his day to pitch, they could bring up McGill. So I think Peterson's leash has more to do with McGill than anything. If McGill looks sharp, then they'll probably start to alternate. But again, Carrasco's already been sidelined for his elbow maintenance. And,
I've loved Carrasco early on. And I started to draft him because if you look at his first like five starts, they're all against like the A's and the Marlins. It feels like it's dead. But now you're not even sure he's going to pitch. I would have picked him already otherwise.
So I think he's a good pick. I think, someone put out something today where they said that someone put a bold prediction that they thought he'd be like a top. He could be a top. Oh, Cross. Eric Cross. He put out a bold
prediction. Oh, there goes Morel. Morel was drafted as a starter. Sorry.
No, he said that Peterson could be a top 30 pitcher.
Well, actually, it's funny Eric did that. I actually said in my article, if he gets that control, he's got a number two upside if he gets the walks down. He does. I really believe that too. I didn't see that Eric tweeted that. I love it. I love it when that happens when you get like
Eric. The problem is
confirmation bias. You're like, ooh, I thought I said something, and the part of you's like, oh, it's not unique. But part of you's like, you know what? Someone really smart also.
Well, I said one of the worst bold predictions of all time, and I haven't forgotten, and no one brings it up. I don't delete tweets. It's there. But one of my bold predictions was, I think it was 2020 season, so I figured anything could happen. It was shortened. But it was Franchi Cordero got traded. I forgot where he got traded to. I think it was the Royals.
I
was like, Franchi Cordero with everyday playing time is going to outproduce Luis Robert.
Wow, you didn't say that.
Did I? I tweeted that. It was really just one of those, like, I don't actually believe this, but I'm going to put it out there because it's one of those, look, nobody remembered it except for me. No one remembered it. But if it hit, imagine the feedback. Like, oh my God, he called. It's one of those no lose, all win situations. I feel like
you also lost a bet to me on Franchi. You bet like
I did.
Who was someone else? It might have been Yandy versus Franchi or something.
No, it was
Manny Margot versus Franchi. I think.
No, I don't think it was Margot either. It was I thought it was a Red Sox player. No.
Oh, maybe it was. I thought they were Rays.
It was somebody that was meh. But my guy was so much worse than yours.
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, yours was terrible too. It wasn't like yours was good. It was just yours was less worse than mine. Yours played.
That was a difference, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't a good bet. It was a bad bet. But I lost a bet to Cross that year too. That was a bad year. It's funny because actually it was one of my better years in the NFBC, but it was also a shortened season, so I don't really count it. But I missed another bet that I made with Cross. And I actually was right up until like the final 2 weeks of the season when Cross's guy, I think it was Pete Alonso and Matt Olson, where Pete Alonso crushed it the final week or two of the season and it put him over Matt Olson after Matt Olson led the way, I guess, again in the player rater that year against instead of Pete, I think it was. So those two, good times. Don't get me wrong, I've definitely become a better analyst, but still, good times. Like, you got to look back and think, man, not only was I naive certain things, but also I don't like doing the clickbaity stuff anymore. I don't know how much you see on my Twitter is pretty much all like, either, hey, look at like trying to point out trends, or I try to give actionable information and data I find. I try to be less hot takey. There's enough people doing that hot take stuff better than me that they can have it.
Yeah. I think your lineup stuff is like that's some of the best stuff to follow. So
I do appreciate that. Schottenfeld, yeah. He was top of my queue because middle infield's getting kind of ugly.
Oh, Paredes?
I have a big target.
Yeah, I wanted him to.
I have a target that I hope falls. It's an outfielder. And
Chris Taylor.
His name is Bergson Profar. If he makes it to me,
that's a good one. He's so. It's one of those things. He's so buried in the ADP. Another guy I forgot about. I just wrote about him. I'm actually finishing up an article for The Athletic, a complete recap of all the other two articles. But, you know, one of them having a lot. I just did the AL last week, so there's a lot less to update on that one. But ultimately, yeah, I'm really frustrated right now because
Round 21,
there you go.
New outfielder for the Rockies. Even if they suck, he should be good for 90 runs a year as long as he's healthy.
He hasn't even started like a game in spring, which is weird.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. Like I noticed that today. I'm like, why is he not started a game? It's
not injury related.
No, it's not. Not that I've seen though. But that's the thing. It's like almost it's so hush hush. It's weird.
No, they said that he's not in camp. He said he's expected to arrive by the end. So
gotcha.
He's worth it.
I just got sniped on Langliers. He was my top target. He made too much sense for my team. You know what I mean? Like it was perfect. So now I'm reeling because I have an option. I have another pitcher at the top. I just don't know if I want another.
I'm gonna stick around until round 23, so we'll have the starters, and then I'm gonna jump off, guys.
All right,
so, more rounds.
No worries. We might just call it there anyway. But now I'm over here. I'm letting it run because I don't know what I want to do. All right, let's have some fun. Boom, Brandon Belt, baby. First base. Not only is he first base, he's power, batting average in theory, and he's my handcuff. So there's that. But I like Brandon Belt. I don't have any of them, and I think he's solid. That park they catered to him. That park.
Yeah, it could be if he gets the playing time. I mean, baby giraffe, man. I mean, I will tell you, he's my friends make fun of me. He's one of those guys in my home league that my friends make fun of me because
baby giraffe.
I've had him on my league like forever.
I just think it's like Chris
is a sucker. Chris is a sucker for the baby giraffe.
I think that's a funny name for him, just the way he runs, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. That's hilarious. Yeah, he's a guy that I just think is I think he's good. That's the thing. I buy into the playing time. He signed there. Belt signed to play there because they promised him like an everyday role. But I think it's gonna be platoon, but I do think he's gonna play against all righties and he'll play some first base, not much, but he has played the first base in spring even. So that he's like, it could just be player talk, but it's the best he's felt in years. So I'm kind of buying into all that. I'm kind of a sucker for that. Okay. So Massey was a good pick. He was a guy that I was eyeing hard too.
He was one that just didn't fit what I needed right now. I would have liked him.
Well, my issue is I'm looking at it goes back to middle. I have no my middle infield is kind of hurting. I took Belt for Utah. I shouldn't have taken my utility over him, but I didn't think you would take him. No. I have an idea. I'll take my guy. I'll take my guy. I take everywhere. Jumping ADP by 100 picks, but he is breaking camp with the team.
Ooh!
So
there you go.
I have him so many places, and if I have to start him, so be it. But Bryce Terang. Yeah. Is it Terang?
Oh, I don't know.
I've been saying Terang. I have no idea. But I look at who's available. I don't like Chris Taylor's playing time. Peraza was sent down. Rengifo, I don't trust his playing time.
Yep.
Gorman could be on the strong side. I think Gorman's playing time is trending up, and no one's really talking about it. I think Gorman could be strong side DH to start the year. But
what are you worried about with Chris Taylor? It feels like he'll play there.
I don't think he's going to play as much as I think it's going to be a utility role, but I think he's going to definitely have a role against lefties. And Peraza is a minor leaguer getting drafted in the starting rounds. That's weird.
I just took Alex Wood. And I saw someone else took Manaea. I like having those guys not pitchers. I have to same thing with Cobb a little. I trust a little bit more, but I love Stripling too. I don't want to rely on those guys, so I want like four or five good starters. But after that, I love taking shots on those because one of those guys are going to end up, if at least one, is like an SP3 this year.
I took Peterson over them, but Manaea was the other name. Remember when we got to my pick, and I'm like, I wanted Langliers, but he wasn't there. So I was like, I want to take this. There's a pitcher on top of my board. It was Manaea. So if Manaea fell to me, but then he took Massey. I thought I was going to try to be cute, but Matt took Massey. I was going to take Massey. I was going to see if I could make it all the way back. Like I'm talking like round 23 back. And so I was going to play the game, but because he took him, I didn't want to miss out on middle infielder because it's already bad. It's already really bad. And I don't want to start my season. I honestly didn't want to come out of this draft with freaking Terang as my starting middle. So I'm still looking for a sure thing, but there isn't one right now. Middle infield is bad. Like it's the weirdest thing. I've never seen middle infield get this dried up so quick. I don't think Castro is a set thing either. That's another thing. I don't think Rodolfo Castro has an everyday job. No, so that's part of it.
There are definitely, but I mean, I think there's some guys that I believe in. I think Taylor will get more time. I think
Rengifo. Well, that's the thing. I don't trust those two.
By the way, right. Joey Wendell is a starting shortstop, bro.
Can have him. Yeah, you can. I'd rather start with a platoon bat. I'd rather take a weak platoon bat that hits lefties like so well at this point. Now there are names like Aledmys Diaz is going to platoon, but he'll probably get plenty of playing time. Brandon Crawford's going to play plenty. JP Crawford's going to play.
Tony Kemp is going to play.
So is Jonathan Scope. It doesn't mean I want them. But yes, there are Adam Frazier. Like, you know, you can look down here. You'll find playing time. So it's not like there isn't any playing time. Miguel Rojas, we know, is going to play. So it's just a matter of, do I want them to be my starter heading into the year? And the answer there is no. So I'd rather take a shot on a guy that I believe in that might – the problem is the plate appearances might not be there. So it's like – that's why I'm glad I got Belt, because I think Belt
Winter
will
– just went in the 22nd. That's an interesting pick. I think Taylor Rogers, that was someone that Winter, was – yeah. What? My cue just got crushed. Bradish
was on mine too. Winter. Yeah, I saw Bradish was on top of my cue too for a little bit there.
He's a popular player.
Well, it's just one of those things where I have my pitching staff filled out already. I'm not necessarily looking for reserve pitchers. I don't mind because I don't want to have to start Ronaldo Lopez. I took Ronaldo Lopez to try to get a head start in saves. I don't necessarily plan on starting him. Maybe week one because we need, just to not take zeros, which is part of the strategy too, making sure you have enough players to not take zeros week one. But Lopez is a guy that I'm just banking. I'm trying to take a shot on some upside for saves more than anything else.
Well, the player I'm hoping to fall is another.
McGuff was a good pick.
Good one, yep. Player I'm hoping to fall is another ADP and kind of cheat code, and that's Mitch Garber, because will qualify a catcher pretty soon. I think he's a good enough hitter. I still believe that if he's healthy, he could end up in your utility slot. If he gets, the games, then I've got a third catcher really late.
Yeah, see, that's he was a guy that I had in my queue, but I'm not, like, I don't know, man. I like the idea. Well, he should get catcher eligibility rather quickly. I do think, because he's catching in spring. They sent down Huff. He is the backup catcher. He's going to catch.
Yeah.
And a DC, I like him a lot more, obviously, because of that. But ultimately, I mean, someone like me probably could use him, but I like, there's actually a couple guys I like more than him at catcher still. So I have no problem letting, like, if you're taking him, that's fine. That's fine with me, just because I have no real issue with starting with like Bethancourt or.
Yeah, Bethancourt's there. And there's a couple of, there are some upside plays.
Oh, there's definitely upside plays. And you know, I have my eyes on one of them. I might just take them now. Screw it.
I was about to say, I bet you should.
Because I think Matt will somehow screw me on it just to screw with me.
I'm gonna wait for the turn here to take off. Would you
guess? I'll take Blake.
Yep. I thought about him too.
He was up there. Well, here's the thing. He's up there with me, and here's the thing. I don't trust the playing time. I think as a second catcher, he's a fun streamer, a fun guy to see how, because he could play. He could play way more than we expect as a utility type.
Yeah.
Yes, utility type, and he's hitting in spring, but he's a rule five guy. But he's not safe. I think a guy like Bethancourt is still a lot safer. And there's other options I feel like I could grab for depth. Like, there's not like – it's not like there's a lack of other options to take here. Well, there is a lack of other options, but not – you know what I mean? Like, not Stassi was a guy I actually found myself falling back on because of all the reports of him playing. But he's injured, so I don't have any interest anymore. But Jose Trevino, I have no problem as a backup. Fine. And Narvaez, he's going to play. Stuff like that. Like, I have no, now that I got my second guy, I'm not going to take Bethancourt and let someone else take. So I'm going to go back to get him off my board. I'm going to take, who do I want? I'm going to take this guy. This guy's higher on the guy that I want to, it's a gamble pick. Okay. So this is the end of 23rd round. If you want to head out, Chris,
Well, since Matt picked and then I picked, pretty quickly after it, wait for the double and then hit it.
We can say that about the rest of the draft, though.
We could. I want to see. We've got someone on auto. This guy Hayek. Is that the same person that's been on auto?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't realize it was.
Yeah, you're on the clock, Matt. You got 13
15 seconds. Josiah Gray.
This guy's. I got to see what this guy has. It's Hayek. So Jorge Mateo is a starting shortstop. He's got one catcher. That's Cal Raleigh. His outfield is Stephen Kwan, Harrison Bader, Jesse Winker, Lane Thomas, and Charlie Black.
You want to see an upside pick? You're going to see a nice upside pick.
Oh, this Waldichuk.
That's not the pick I was talking about being an upside pick. My pick's the upside pick.
I think Waldichuk was a good upside pick.
Yeah, I was going to say, Waldichuk is the upside pick.
No. I have one that's more upside.
As long as you don't need wins.
That's pretty much it. Wins. I don't know what to expect otherwise. There's this guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, Edwin Diaz, available. Sorry, Matt, too soon. All right. Here it is.
Oh, I like it. He's no Waldichuk.
He's also my reserve pitcher. That's the only reason I wasn't taking him as a starter. He's a reserve pitcher that I can stream. But who are you going
to
end up?
I would want to take one of my signature players and leave. And this is a draft champion special. I have him everywhere because I always love having a guy like Wilmer Flores.
plays. Hey, I was considering Wilmer.
Three positions.
Yeah, I like
great, him. Great ex Matt, in your honor. Cried on his way out of the city. He loved it so much and should be in for a nice little bounce back offensively. It's been a blast, guys.
Yeah.
I will talk to you soon.
Definitely. We'll talk soon.
It's been too long, man. Good to see you.
Yeah,
I see Curlin all the time. But
you see him on Twitter and talk to me in the group chat. So, yeah. That group chat is still alive, Matt, by the way.
Very oh, nice. Is it? You're kidding me.
I don't know how. I don't know how.
How many people are in it? How many people are in it?
The same. I think like I saw like 10 or 12 of us 10 still.
12, yeah. Yep.
The same ones. George, Chris, me.
We've had a few guys join. But
did we?
Yeah, well, Fish.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Derek and a couple others. But anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, fun on vacation.
That's going to do it for this podcast. Appreciate you listening. This was a lot of fun. 23 rounds that we got the starting rounds done in a 15 teamer. So if you have any questions about the bench picks and all that, tweet at us. But other than that, you got to see the inside look at how we go about things in a draft. It's a little different when you're drafting with people, but it is what it is. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate Chris and Matt for joining me. As always, we'll talk next time.